American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard on corners in town, like a cancer that's silently spreading. There's an unspoken fear we're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back. Lord knows they'll try to silence.
All right, we're back, folks. Second hour of this Friday's edition of the National Intel Report on this ninth day of February, 2016. And do I still have Betty there? You had one more thing?
Yeah, one sentence is all. I hope everybody will put the banking and money down below the foundation of the law. I thank you for taking all my talk.
All right. Thanks, Betty. I appreciate it.
You bet.
All right. So she's going to try to convince the children that don't understand what peril they're in. You know, when you throw a man a life preserver and he throws it back at you, smile and wave and move on. Ken in Virginia. Hello, Ken.
Good evening.
Hi.
Could we repurpose Gitmo for your, instead of building a prison, another one?
You know, I'm all for invading Cuba, and, you know, if we're going to nation build, let's take them down. And we can send all the communists or the wannabe communists just to Cuba. Let's make it one gigantic island prison.
Now, on a more serious note, I'm really concerned about Mr. Obama's financial, because if he is leaving the White House probably broke, he's got $89 million built up from vacations and four houses and private schools. I don't think the he might be able to be a golf pro.
He who?
Mr. Obama.
Oh, well.
Is, you know, he's leaving the White House, and he's got to do something, because he's got quite a big bill he's got stacked up.
Well, the good news is they've done an inventory of the White House, and they're not going to let him walk out with anything like Hillary did.
That's a good thing. But I don't think... But he's got enough of a problem, I guess, with the all the vacations he's taken.
Well, and you know, I mean, he was a serious president. He was there for all of us. And it boils down to, well, the reason why Obama was not successful in anything he did is it was because of racism in this country. Now, Ken, I never want you to forget that, because we're not done with this white guilt thing. We're not done with it, not by a long shot. You know, the failure of Obama in the White House is because people were prejudiced. Now, I would have liked to, when he made that statement, I would have liked to have asked him, well, which part of you were they prejudiced against, the white or the black side? You know, and why is it, Mr. President, that this time around more people voted for Donald Trump than they did Hillary Clinton? It's because the black people that are in this, evidently, this perpetual state of slavehood, has starting to finally figure out who's enslaving them. They haven't exactly figured out how and why. They just know that they've been at the bottom of the list. They know a ton of money's been thrown their way. They've got a little sample of it. They got the crumbs off the banquet table, but they're always left with just the crumbs. And they're slowly starting to figure it out. You know, I mean, and the argument here again, Ken, the argument that should be taken up in this country is, you know, what is this thing that whites do have against blacks? As I've said repeatedly, over and over again, when a black man or a black family moved into a white neighborhood, it wasn't because of their skin color. It was because of their politics. And this is, now, this would be a perfect opportunity with all this racism talk. Let's lay all this out on the table. Let's go through it. Let's go through all of it. Let's really vet this thing out. Put it all on the table. And at the end of this, if you still think that there is this rampant uptick in we're white and we just want to see dead black people. No, that's what the blacks, the radical blacks, have been saying, that whitey should die. It's all our fault. No, these are the wayward ones. Probably never get through to them, but you can certainly minimize them.
Well, I look at it as the tip of the spear. That's what that argument was, the tip of the spear, and it was coded very well in order for them to do the damage they did over the 8 years.
Yeah.
And I still liked Dr. Alan Keyes when he was way back 20 years ago, when he was nominated as a possible running mate.
You know, and you know, don't you find it kind of odd that Mr. Keyes was pretty much missing in action, especially in the last couple of years? Mm-hmm. You know, where's he been? Where's he been? Because there was a black voice, that the man looked black. And sometimes people will only listen to somebody of their own color because they've been taught this tribalism deal. But where has he been? even Jesse and Sharpton had the good sense to get out of town. Well, Sharpton's still doing his gig on MSNBC. That's because that's the only place that'll probably still pay him. But where's dear Jesse at? Where's Jesse and all of this tribalism and you know, blackism that he's been fighting against whitey for all these years? And again, you know, I played clips on this program, Ken, when he showed up in St. Louis. Black people are standing around. They're telling him, get the hell out of town, man. Who needs you here? So the blacks are starting to wake up in this country. And it's the more educated and the established blacks that need to stand their ground and say, look, you know, here's the deal. You know, I am an American. I am of a different color, but I am American. My color does not separate me from anything else. This is the steps that need to be taken. But you can see full well, those are those that do not want any reconciliation, any understanding. They want the house divided. They want it to fall.
That's why I think that it needs to be, instead of African American, how can anybody that's is said to be an African American ever going to be able to say he's an American?
They won't. This is why, Mikey. Just for the grins of it, I almost said the other thing. dial up the Mike Wallace clip here, and I will play that once again. He explains it in about 2 minutes flat how to put an end to this race division. Go ahead and play the clip while I've got Kenny Boy on the phone here.
Black History Month, you find ridiculous.
Why?
You're going to relegate my history to a month?
Oh, come on.
What do you do with yours? Which month is White History Month? No, well, come on. Tell me.
Well, I'm Jewish.
Okay. Which month is Jewish History Month?
There isn't one.
Oh. Why not?
Yeah.
Do you want one?
No.
I don't either. I don't want a Black History Month. Black history is American history.
How are we going to get rid of racism until...
Stop talking about it. I'm going to stop calling you a white man.
Yeah.
And I'm going to ask you to stop calling me a black man. I know you as Mike Wallace. You know me as Morgan Freeman. You understand what I know this white guy named Mike Wallace. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
That's the way it stops, Ken.
Just by
that very simple observation and statement, quit looking at me and calling me black. And blacks, quit looking at whitey and calling him white. Call him a fellow American. How about that one?
That works for me.
Yeah, Ken. It's the people that want to really bring this country down, that want to transform its system of government. You know, it astounds me that people, more and more people, don't subscribe to this and go, wait a minute here. Let's stop pointing this stuff out. Everybody go to work. Black people, work on improving your lives, improving your, I'll take a Hillary Clinton quote here, your community. You know, start. Ken, did you buy for 1 second that some poor black child in Cincinnati, Ohio, doesn't have a chance at a future in this country? Do you buy that for 1 second?
I only because I know there's a tent city that I'm intimately familiar with, but it's only developed over the last 8 years. Before that, no, I knew there was hope, but since in the last 8 years, the hope has really diminished.
Okay, all right. I don't know what all that meant. My point is that any human being with a drive to improve themselves, to stay out of situations that would detract them from the goals that they set for themselves. I'm saying the individual, no matter where, no matter what their financial standing, no matter where they're at, if they have a desire to improve themselves, to educate themselves, to extricate themselves from a situation that is not all that wholesome, every child has the ability to do that. Every child. Where are the parents encouraging that, protecting that child to accomplish those goals? Where are they? What's their thinking? And if you don't know the answer to that, quit having babies.
Yeah.
All right?
Well, I personally thought that at one time I could be dropped anywhere in the United States and make it with what was on my back. But these days, I don't know.
Well, Ken, all right, you're standing on wobbly legs. Do we have to stand around and watch you fall? Because you sound like you're getting ready to.
Well, it's not that bad, but it's...
Thank you. Thank you.
Yep.
And you will survive, and so will I. And you will be around for better days ahead, and so will I.
Yes, sir.
All right, Ken. Thank you for your call. Appreciate
it. Yes, sir. Have a good holiday.
All right. We got a holiday? Does that mean he's not coming, calling me back till after Christmas? It's only December 9th. Mike in Colorado. Hello, Mike.
Hey, John. Thanks for ruining It's a Wonderful Life for me. I used to love that movie until today.
Well, and don't forget the part where they're celebrating and they had $2 left over.
The context and the perspective is amazing. And
yeah,
what I learned mostly from this election is there's about 2-3% of the people who didn't know this information or didn't feel this way about the establishment that now do. And that's great progress.
It's a start.
It's good progress.
It's a foundation to be built upon, but yeah, I've seen way too many times there's a good start on things, and it's not carefully considered and built upon.
And then it fizzles and dies.
There you go.
Well, yeah, and the other thing while I was listening, and I love Betty so much, she's so inspiring to me. while I was listening, I was looking up the vote totals of this last election, and they estimate 162 million voted, and they estimate 162 million didn't vote, roughly. So that leaves me at about 272 million people out of an alleged country of 308 million.
Nah, your numbers are skewed. The eligible voters weren't 160 that did
vote.
272. What?
It was 272 million roughly eligible to vote.
I... mean,
and 162,000 or 162 million actually voted.
Okay. Roughly. Well, that isn't that though still the biggest turnout in American history?
Oh, tremendous! Yeah, which is great. But the thing that struck me was that if we're only about 310 million,
yeah,
then they're claiming that there's only like 38 million children in this country of 310 million.
And the math—that's why I started checking you on the math there. Yeah, something.
Well, yeah, something screwed with not only the total population, but the whole picture, the entire picture, yeah. Including banking, including population, including media, including everything. I just think we've been lied to for so long. It's hard for people to get their head out of there. You know,
they don't know what to believe, so they'll right. keep falling for the people that they've been falling for all these years, and have a tendency to think that they're right and the other guy is wrong. When the other guy's desperately just panicked that trying to desperately wake him up to save his life. That's the irony. That's the comedy of errors here.
Turn off the gas because the house is on fire, please.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Well, okay, so since you made a commitment to the listeners, at least through the end of the year, I think every listener, anybody who hears this, make a commitment not only to the network, but figure out a way to get this onto radio stations. If you know anybody in radio, send them to RBN, have them call John. Do whatever you can because the momentum ball can be moving forward.
And it doesn't necessarily have to be me. It could be Mike Rivero. It could be Dr. Bill Deagle. There's a host of programs on this network that can fit neatly into a weekend slot or whatever. Yeah.
Deagle, but they got to contact you because you're the man. So anyway, have a great weekend, buddy.
All right. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate your call. You know, I mentioned the little comedy piece that was done in a magazine in London, England, on April 3rd of 1957. And Ed Griffith, I'm reading this out of Ed Griffith's book. He's got a personally signed copy to me. We went down to Jekyll Island, to the place that this Federal Reserve was hatched. And he put an introduction into the book. And he said, this is an appropriate introduction as a mental exercise to limber up the mind for the material contained in his book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. And this little exchange, it's fictional, takes place between two people. And it's in short question and answer format, Q&A. Question, what are banks for? Answer, to make money. Question, for the customers? A, answer, for the banks. Question, why doesn't bank advertising mention this? Well, the answer to that, it would not be in good taste, but it is mentioned by implication in references in reserves of this time in England of $249 million or thereabouts. That is the money that they have made. Question, out of the customers? Answer, well, I suppose so. Question, they also mention assets of $500 million or thereabouts. Have they made that too? Well, the answer, not exactly. That's the money they use to make money. Question, I see. And they keep it in a safe somewhere? Oh, answer, no, not at all. They lend it to other customers. Question, then they haven't got it? Answer, no. Question, then how is it an asset? Answer, they maintain that it would be if they got it back. Well, question, but they must have some money in a safe somewhere. Yes, usually 500 million or thereabouts. This is called liabilities. Question, but if they've got it, how can they be liable for it? Answer, because it isn't theirs. Question, then why do they have it? Answer, it has been lent to them by the customers. Question, you mean customers lend banks money? Answer, in effect, they put money into their accounts, so it is really lent to the banks. Question, and what do the banks do with it? Answer, lend it to other customers. Question, but you said the money that they lent to other people was assets. Answer, yes. Question, then assets and liabilities must be the same thing? Answer, you can't really say that. I'll pick up with this very insightful Q&A after the bottom of the hour break.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540.
Only a fool would go to a plumber for brain surgery. But otherwise intelligent people use internet searches to find such gems as Lee Harvey Oswald killed JFK with three shots from the rear and one shot from the front. They get similar financial guidance when they are investigating cryptocurrencies. RBN listeners know that American currency has not been lawful money for nearly 50 years since the thieves at the Fed stole the silver out of the coins and began reneging on redeemable notes in 1968. Now that the dollar has just about inflated totally away and banks want reverse interest to keep your books, the high-tech world has brought you an alternative. What if you could buy, sell, and trade with fellow business people from your home with zero bank fees? If you believe banking tyranny must end, then join the digital currency movement now. Call investigative journalist Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911.
Trying to wish people's precious minutes away. I said it was bottom of the hour, and it wasn't. But anyhow. As I said here, question, but you said that the money that they lent to other people were assets. Answer, yes. Then question, and assets and liabilities must be the same thing. Answer, you can't really say that. Question, but if you just said it, if I put $100 into my account and the bank is liable to have to pay it back, so it's liabilities, but they go and lend it to somebody else, and he's liable to have to pay it back, so it's assets. It's the same $100, isn't it? Answer, yes, but question. Then it cancels out. It means, doesn't it, that the banks haven't really any money at all? Answer, theoretically. Question, never mind theoretically. And if they haven't any money, where did they get their reserves of $249 million or thereabouts? Answer, I told you. That's the money that they have made. Question, how? Answer, well, when they lend your $100 to someone, they charge them interest. Question, how much? It depends on the bank rate. Say 5.5%. That's their profit. Question, why isn't it my profit? Isn't it my money? Answer, it's the theory of banking practice that, question, when I lend them my $100, why don't I charge them interest? Answer, well, you do. Question, you don't say how much. Answer, it depends on the bank rate. Say 0.5%. Question, grasping of me, rather. Answer, but that's only if you're not going to draw the money out again. question. But of course, I'm going to draw it out again. If I hadn't wanted to draw it out again, I could have buried it in a garden someplace, couldn't I have? Answer. Then they wouldn't like you to draw it out again, is his answer. Well, question. Well, why not? If I keep it in there, you say it's a liability. Wouldn't they be glad if I reduced their liabilities by removing it? Answer, no, because if you remove it, they can't lend it to anybody else. Question, but if they wanted to remove it, they'd have to let me, right? Answer, certainly. Question, but suppose they've already lent it to another customer. Answer, then they'll let you have someone else's money. Question, but suppose he wants his and they've let me have it. Answer, you're purposely being obtuse. Question, I think I'm being very acute. What if everybody wanted their money at once? Answer, it's a theory of banking practice that they never would. Question, so what banks bank on is not having to meet their commitments? Answer, I wouldn't say that. Well, question, naturally. Well, if there's nothing else you can think of telling me, answer, quite so. Now you can go off and open up a bank account. Question, just one last question. Well, answer, of course. Wouldn't I do better to go off and open up a bank? Yes, we have assets, but we have liabilities. We have very little cash, but look at all the good we're doing. But they won't take that 4 or 5% or whatever it is. They weren't happy with taking that as, well, you know, a profit by giving you a 0.5%, whatever. No. And then turning around and the money, the ill-gotten gains off of your deposits, they've used your money, and they're only willing to give you a 0.5% for it. So why didn't they just loan out the 4 or 5% that they were managed to squeeze out of your deposit? Well, that's just a burning question, isn't it? Chris in Las Vegas. Hello, Chris.
Hi. Well, good afternoon, John. You know, when you're speaking the magic theory of banking and the economistic psychobabble of the banker gangsters, in fact, I've read language from the FDIC and the Office of Risk Provision and some of their documents pursuant to the so-called WaMu purchase by J.P. Morgan Chase, where they actually refer to the bond kings and separate it in that particular vernacular into two words, which I think is a tip of the hat to the core bond kings, which means take it because they can.
Mm-hmm.
I've also read that they call debts and credits the exact same thing, which is especially what they were talking about in deposits and liabilities, the same thing, sort of, kind of, but not exactly, as he said.
And you don't even get a free toaster anymore for opening up the damn account for the pleasure of that bank using your money. You know, I sometimes get irrationally exuberant when I talk about this subject matter. Anything else, Chris?
Yes. I do have something for you about Tom, if you haven't talked about it already when we come back.
Okay, I think I know what you're going to say, and, yeah.
No reason to get excited!
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
I have actually been on Balance of Nature for a year now. I have MS, and I recently had an MRI. This is the first year that I've had a stable MRI, so I'm thrilled. When I have an MRI with MS, usually there are glowing spots that come through, which is damage on the nerves in my brain and my spinal cord, and when they're glowing, it means they're active. And then my last MRI, they pulled it up, and I honestly couldn't believe that it was my MRI. There was nothing glowing. And in fact, the dark spots were shrinking. They were healing. And the doctor actually said to me, I think we're in remission. I was so happy. I had no idea that that could be my reality.
Call now to find out how to get your free month supply of Balance of Nature. Call 800-2468-751. That's 800-2468-751. Or go online to balanceofnature.com.
Use promo code TSL.
Do you have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutraMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutrition meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutraMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com. NutraMedical.com for the whole family.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Chris in Vegas dropped after I spoke to him for a few minutes. There will be an announcement coming from Tom Lacovara's show by the substitute host for next week's programming. Or is that tonight as well? I'm sorry, Mike? Next week. Okay. What, is it going to be a rerun tonight? And I will let the parties that are closest to this explain their own story. All right. Mark in Florida. Hello, Mark.
Hey, John.
Hi.
Hey, John. Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to carry on with what you was talking about with the banks and things. To give you a little background, my Social Security shows that zero Social Security wages from 2002 to 2007. In 2008, I left Michigan in July, never to return, except to visit family. And Michigan sent me tax assessments for 2008, 9, 10, 11, 12, $13,000.
And you weren't around there since 2007, right?
2008.
Okay.
Okay. And I argued with them and fought them and sent them all over my records. So they finally sent me letters back. My tax bill is zero for 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. And I got a letter today informing me that they released a lien which I didn't know I had.
Where was that lien placed, Mark?
It says the lien recorded with the County Register of Deeds, so I suppose it would have been in the county I was in.
Yeah, but against what?
Me.
So what they were basically telling you that, well, we figure that you owe us money and you're not going to get any money out of us until you settle up for all those missing years that you didn't owe.
Okay, so I got letters back saying all those years I don't owe anything. In fact, they're going to release the lien. Another envelope I got today says, maybe you have overlooked this bill. An unpaid balance remains due on your account. And the bill is for $55 for 2010 lien levy warrant cost. They want $55.
For the lien and the levy that they put on you that they had no right of putting on you in the first place.
Correct. They never stop. These parasites, bloodsuckers, liars, and thieves, they never stop.
They can't, because they're bloodsuckers, liars, and thieves. That's what bloodsuckers, liars, and thieves do. They keep doing the same thing. Amazing, isn't it?
It's mind-boggling. The swamp is everywhere. Oh, it's just, John, it's just amazing.
Well, and people that have personal experience with this, they learn it the hard way. How would you like to have been one of these people that, the IRS ran up on you, and they went to your place of business, and then they invaded your home, and, oh, by the way, with SWAT teams and weapons drawn and expletives being yelled at you? You know, that's an experience that people will never forget.
And they shoot your dog.
And they shoot... You know, and I was thinking about this the other day. I saw something that really disturbed me. And we've seen many examples of it. Are you familiar with a program called Repo Men, that they go out and they take back expensive planes and jets and boats and toys and helicopters of all sorts, and then they get paid for the banks for repossessing? Okay. One in particular, the guy was only going to make $10,000 out of repossessing a single engine, whatever the hell it was. And, well, he went to the airport to grab the plane. Well, it was called in. The FBI showed up at the next airport that he had a puddle jump over to, because there was no fuel in the plane. While it was there, the FBI ran up on him. Out of the car they came, guns drawn, yelling, screaming. There were no weapons present, nothing to indicate that there was any threat toward those agents. But yet there they were with the guns yelling and screaming and throwing them on the ground and cuffing them and doing all this stuff. And, of course, they were contrite when they got their little red folder and, there's the repossession and here's the court order and, it looks like your paperwork is in order. Well, they fueled the plane up. They didn't even get out of that small little puddle jump airport for the refueling purposes. Here comes the local gendarmes. Same thing. Shotguns, guns, yelling, expletives. And get down and all this other crap. Point being, who is the threat here? And this is no better than highway robbers. This is how people that are set to rob you or steal from you or take your life. These are the actions of robber barons. This is not an investigation. If there's no threat, there's no reason to draw a weapon. You can gain people's cooperation without drawing a weapon, without yelling the expletives and throwing them on the ground and cuffing them and insulting them and doing everything else. When I saw that, and keep in mind, Mark, this is a repossession from a bank. You know, a small part of me is going, yeah, yippee, I hope you get away with it. But, you know, contracts are contracts. People walk into these contracts with eyes wide open, and a lot of those guys are just money-hungry, crooked business people, and they'll use anybody and anything. But the point is, it is the approach that I am drawing into serious question. This is the attitude and the posture of renegades and thieves.
And madmen. Renegades and madmen. You're absolutely right. Lavoie Finnegan, that incident, I'm not a witness, but man, the story of that is so is so terrible. There's not a word to describe how terrible these government employees are, and it's every one of them. And I hate to put down the old lady behind the counter at the DMV, but she's an agent helping them to fill their dreams of robbing us till we're have nothing.
Well, and wouldn't it be amazing if that person behind the driver's license counter took the same approach to the woman that didn't want to give out marriage licenses to same-sex marriages? She looked at this, that this is a moral principle for her, and this was a line she wasn't going to cross. Well, I mean, is it any less egregious from standing there and the licensure to drag you into the system to make you a revenue, deposit box of some sort? Yeah. It's sick and it's gross. It is all of those things.
Yeah, it's beyond all those things. And I appreciate your programming is just wonderful, and I appreciate it.
Well, Mark, I what did you do in Michigan, and why did you go down to Florida?
I tried to start had a small limousine operation, mm-hmm. 5 years, and 9/11, and this is after 9/11, but then the prices kept going up, and then they started tripling the permits and adding new permits, and Detroit wanted another additional permit to even come into Detroit. they just started regulating everybody out.
Well, what's this?
Everyone,
Mark, come on. Aren't you part of the community? Didn't you know that Detroit needed that money very badly?
Anthony Suave took over and run Detroit city management, and his cars were fine, but no one else's cars. It's just amazing.
Funny how that happened.
They run everybody out.
Yeah.
That's all they did.
Well, Mark, I hope you're doing better down in what part of Florida are you in now?
Just north of Naples. I give my boss 3 days a week because 3 12-hour days a week is plenty.
If you're just north of Naples, that would put you in Fort Myers.
Pretty close.
Holy crap. That's an area that I don't think I'll ever be going back to. The X is down there now.
Oh.
you're not the new boyfriend or the husband, are you?
my ex is up in Detroit.
Okay. Well, she's down there on the beaches in Fort Myers singing All My Exes Live in Texas.
There you go.
Right.
I was in Texas for a period. That's where I first moved to, and it's funny. It's funny what Michigan did.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Mark. I appreciate it.
Enjoy.
All right. Earlier, New York Times, and this is on the heels of Hillary Clinton decrying the fake news, and she's up in Washington, D.C., and it wasn't for Harry Reid's fairly well. She was up there to make sure that, she exacted her revenge on these fake news people. You know, the people that exposed her criminality. Yeah, that's why she was there. On the heels of that, Robert Moschicini said the New York Times, Washington Post fake news still bringing real guns to Iraq, killing thousands. Fake news propagated by the U.S. government and collaborating organizations, such as the New York Times and the Washington Post, helped create an environment in which the U.S. was able to illegally invade Iraq in 2003. Killing at least 1 million and possibly upwards of 2 million people. Understand, folks, this is the first time I've seen this in a regularly distributed news outlet naming numbers, including the deaths of some 4,500 U.S. soldiers, according to a meta-study by Nobel-winning Physicians for Social Responsibility. Just this November, nearly 6,000 people were killed in Iraq, thanks to the conflicts that are still raging due to the invasion, which is ongoing, by the way. And it is not an atypical month. Even more were killed in October. Regarding the fake news that laid the groundwork for the U.S. war of aggression, award-winning journalist Robert Perry notes that, for example, Judith Miller of the New York Times and the Washington Post editorial page editor Fred Hyatt repeatedly stated the fact of Iraq's hidden weapons of mass destruction as flat fact and mocked anybody who doubted the groupthink. Now, Perry also traces the use of fake news by these outlets and the government to the present, raising interesting legal questions about whether and how individuals who perpetrate fake news should be punished, and to what extent are they protected by the U.S. First Amendment. Trevor Tim of The Atlantic cites a Supreme Court decision which ruled that speech is protected unless it is directed to inciting or producing imminent lawless action and is likely to incite or produce such action. Now, what did I just describe in that sentence? Wouldn't that be enough for the FBI to go after George Soros? You betcha. Are they going to touch him? No. According to the highest UN officials and many other, including most of the world, the invasion of Iraq was a lawless action, which would make statements directed to participating it ineligible for protection under U.S. law. The next question that arises would be how to punish the offenders of the illegal speech. Sticking to U.S. legal precedent, we may note that the U.S. at Nuremberg executed Germans who it determined had issued fake news in service of creating the conditions for Germany to invade other nations. And though the death penalty has since been eradicated in most of the world, it has not been in the U.S. Perry notes that none of the fake news peddlers have yet faced any legal recourse for their apparent crimes. Hyatt, for example, remains the Post editorial page editor, continuing to enforce conventional wisdoms and to disparage those who deviate. Gatekeeper. Miller and others maintain similar positions. Now, people at these outlets have recently begun to express that there should be limits on fake news. However, they have only made such statements in reference to others and not themselves. This is what I found to be so ironic about Fox News and Sean Hannity. Well, after the election, I'm really going to go after all these other liberal news outlets. But of course, never casting any doubt or any shadow on the people that employ him. And Sean, unless you're living in the lofty clouds up there, Fox News is part of the fake news. They were in on the deal, selling people with their neocons and their Fox affiliates coming on and telling us how evil Saddam Hussein was and how they had weapons of mass destruction. Hannity, quit. Can you do me a favor? Just stick to cheap seat politics and quit trying to be a hero because you're only proving yourself to be a hypocrite. Please stop it. Stop it. You're getting enough money. Talk about something else. Fox News is paying you well. God. Yeah, I'm holier than thou. I'm part of the cabal, but I'm just the shiny side of it. Man. So as I was saying, people at these outlets have recently begun to express that there should be limits on fake news. However, they've only made such statements in reference to others and not themselves, perhaps illustrating the level of regard that they have for thousands of U.S. soldiers and a million plus Iraqis that have died and are dying thanks in part to the fake news they disseminate. Yeah. Boy, you know, there's nothing worse. To me, folks, there's nothing worse than a person that's involved in something that tries to separate themselves and makes themselves try to look better. I mean, to me, it's just disgusting. I mean, there's no other way. A resident of Syria, the Syrian city Aleppo. By the way, Aleppo, if you did not know this, in Syria, is one of the oldest continually occupied cities on planet Earth. Putin and Assad are about to achieve their biggest victory in Syria. This came out of The Atlantic. All the world has failed us, a resident of the Syrian city of Aleppo told the BBC this week. via a WhatsApp audio message. The city is dying, rapidly by bombardment and slowly by hunger and fear of the advance of the Assad regime. Now you see the twist here. Just bear with me. In recent weeks, the Syrian military, backed by Russian air power and Iran-affiliated militias, has swiftly retaken most of eastern Aleppo, the last major urban stronghold of the rebel forces in Syria. Tens of thousands of besieged civilians are struggling to survive and escape the fighting amid talk of rebel retreat. One of the oldest continuously inhabited cities on earth, the city of the Silk Road and the Great Mosque, is poised to fall to Bashar al-Assad and his benefactors in Moscow and Tehran after a savage four-year stalemate. Syria's president, who has overseen a war that has left hundreds of thousands of his compatriots dead, will inherit a city robbed of its human potential and reduced to rubble. Yeah, you see how this is being carefully manipulated and twisted. This is a story of influence, of the influence of foreign powers can have on civil wars. Assad would not be winning without the support of Iran and particularly Russia. And of course, he conveniently leaves off that, well, this wouldn't even be taking place if it wasn't for the United States and friends of ours that have been arming Al-Qaeda, ISIS, give it a name, or sending in private mercenaries with the little black mask on so you can't tell who the hell they really are, trying to fund and agitate to pull down the legally elected Assad in Syria. This is the important part that they leave out. You know, they're going to report what's going to happen, but not the reasons why it has happened. Kind of twisted fake news. But it is also a story of what happens when foreign powers choose not to exercise their influence in civil wars. The Obama administration has been gradually withdrawing military aid to what it considers moderate rebel factions in Syria, some of which are currently losing ground in Aleppo. Donald Trump will probably cut off all U.S. assistance to these groups as part of his effort to partner with Russia in the fight against terrorism. One would only hope. More reliable sponsors of Syrian opposition forces like Turkey, Saudi Arabia, and Qatar haven't come to the rebels' rescue to the extent that Russia and Iran have to Assad's. This is Syria's president. This is Syria's army, folks. This isn't coming to the rescue to the extent that Russia and Iran have to Assad's rebels. These are their own troops. The United States is concentrated on ISIS elsewhere in the country. The Gulf countries distracted by their war in Yemen. Turkey focused on its fight with ISIS and the Syrian Kurdish militias. Aleppo's rebels are essentially on their own. Well, their little butts are flapping in the desert winds right now, and it ain't looking good for them. If Assad reclaims Aleppo, he will achieve his most significant victory yet in Syria's long war, a victory that would also belong to Vladimir Putin and the leaders of Iran. Still, the fall of Aleppo would likely usher in a new phase of the conflict rather than end it altogether. As Andrew Tabler of the Washington Institute for Near East Policy explained to Kathy Gillison earlier this year, Assad would then control all of Syria's major cities, Aleppo, Damascus, Homs, and Hama, and thus essential Syria. What the hell's wrong with this? The implication, there's something wrong with this. That somehow Assad and the Syrian government control Syria and all the cities within. This would allow him and his allies to go on the offensive in other parts of the country in the Idlib province just southwest of Aleppo, where Syria and Russia have been funneling rebel forces defeated elsewhere into the country. Rebel forces they are now. The Russian strategy is simple, an anonymous European diplomat told Reuters this week. place them all in Idlib and let them have all their rotten eggs in one basket. Eventually, perhaps months or even years later, Assad's coalition could turn its attention to ISIS. In this scenario, an internationally brokered peace agreement could presumably be on terms favorable to Assad. Holy crap. Do they send these guys to twisted journalism school so they can get 101 on how to take facts and twist them so badly that the uninitiated or the unknowledgeable, if you will, wouldn't recognize BS from a grain of rice? Fred in Michigan said it's quick. Oh, that's what's on my screen. Hello.
John, it's HR 5732. HR 5732. It's now in the U.S. Senate's Foreign Relations Committee, and it's called Caesar's Syrian Civilian Protection Act. This is establishing, I hate to say it, the international communitarian Talmudic law basis to take out Assad, initially with the no-fly zone, an act of war, of course. This was done late in the day, 15 November, closed door. They suspended the rules of the House, and I think there were 8 members present, and they, guess what, voted unanimously for it.
Well, so, I don't know if they're going to have the time to implement it. It's been almost a month.
Yeah, the Senate has to, I'm sure, authorize it. I just think everyone in the RBN audience needs next week to contact their U.S. senators and demand that they pull out of, not only terminate H.R. 5732, Caesar's Syrian Civilian Protection Act, but pull everybody out, all the forces out of there, and, of course, terminate all funding to Rothschild, Saturnalia, Israel. Right.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Fred. I appreciate it. All right. You see, folks, if Assad gets his country back in order, do you know what almost wraps all the way around Lebanon? Syria. They've used this as a little peninsula to needle and threaten, and, well, they've killed so many there. And, of course, they've got Turkey to the north of them. When Assad gets his country back, you will see ISIS literally up and disappear, vaporize, like a drop water in a Syrian desert. One day, folks, one day we will have a grasp on this government again, and we the people, we the legitimate government, the asshats in Washington, D.C. are the supposed elected representatives, but the people still don't know what they're electing them to and what role they're really playing in the form of government that's been flipped long ago. But they will find out, because we're going to stay here and we're going to keep telling them. Thank you for being here today. We'll be back with you Monday with a fresh edition of the National Intel Report. We will see you then. Thanks for being here today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AirOutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network.
because you can handle the truth.